I'm not fully in control tonight. I'm relying on Ewing at the back to help me with a PowerPoint. I had hoped to be in control of the front end, so I hope that we get into sequence one with another tonight. So if one slide comes up a bit too early, you'll understand where we're coming from or where we're going to. I put a heading on this chapter of Luke 15, the lost and found department, because I believe in this particular chapter, Jesus is speaking directly about this most important aspect of being lost, having a lost salvation, and being found. I've preached on a number of occasions, and I guess Paul's done the same, on the last part, the prodigal son. And as you know, we had a time when we went through that whole particular parable in quite minute detail and looked at it and spent a great deal of time on it. But I thought tonight that we would look at the whole chapter and see what we could learn from the chapter as a whole, taking into account that there are three stories here. And this particular chapter is great for preachers because there are lots of threes in it. I love 3 points, as you know. Well, it couldn't be any better tonight because there are a number of threes that we're going to be quickly looking through. Not least the fact that there are three stories. The most well-known of which, of course, is the prodigal son. The three stories list the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. In fact, the whole chapter has three aspects to it. It talks about being lost, it talks about being found, and it talks about rejoicing. After each one of those particular stories, Jesus makes the important point that someone or some situation which is lost and found produces rejoicing. And he's illustrating it through rejoicing in heaven. Rejoicing in heaven over a lost sinner who has been found. Great is the rejoicing. And when we enter and are part of a year of mission, let's not forget that as we see people come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, we might rejoice, but there'll be even greater rejoicing in heaven over one that is found. So lost, found, and rejoicing could be three further points, which in itself could be developed into a sermon. So that's the second of the 3 points. But there are three other points which occur in the sermon. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Or, as in the order of the chapter, Son, Holy Spirit, and Father. The first story of the lost sheep speaks of the good shepherd, one who goes after the lost sheep. Who's the good shepherd? Jesus. Jesus is our good shepherd. So the first story, as it were, is Jesus is reminding us of his role as the good shepherd, seeking after the lost. The last story speaks of the loving Father and tells us about the attitude of our loving Heavenly Father. Luke in this chapter provides for us Jesus' teaching on salvation. So it's not surprising that the middle story, the lost coin, has something to do with the Holy Spirit. as Holy Spirit, Son, and Father are all involved in our salvation. Well, you might say to me tonight, well, David, I can see that Jesus is the good shepherd, and I can see the significance of the prodigal son story about the father, but where in the lost coin is the Holy Spirit? Well, that's something that I pondered over myself recently and tried to see if I could come up with any particular area. And you might say to me tonight, well, you're stretching a point a little bit here, but let me just share with you where I think the Holy Spirit's involved in the second story of the lost coin. The coin that was lost would have an image of the ruler of that time upon it, just as our coins today have the Queen's head on them. We, like the coin, bear the image of our ruler. We are made in the image of God, the Father. But it's a lost image. It's a marred image. And a marred image being found restores us to its owner, which is God. So if you ask yourself, well, who's particularly involved in that process of restoring a marred image to the image of God? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who restores the lost sinner into the full image of God. The Bible clearly speaks of our changing, our transformation, which I preached on last time, our changing, our transformation from what we were as sinners into an image of God, that God is working by his Spirit in our lives, making us more like Jesus. Romans 8:28, 2 Corinthians 3:18, Colossians 3:10, 1 John 3, all point in that direction, that one day we will be restored and as believers will be like Christ. God the Father sees us in different ways through the eyes of Christ Jesus. Now you might ask yourself, why did Jesus pick these three stories? Why did he pick a sheep, a coin, and a prodigal son? Well, the sheep went astray, got lost. People in the time of Jesus and every generation are lost because they've gone astray. They've wandered off. You know, I hear many testimonies, particularly of children brought up in Christian homes who somehow have gone astray. C.S. Lewis was and still is generally well known, not for his public speaking, but for his writing. Some of you probably read some of the work of C.S. Lewis. Well, he writes about his own conversion. And this is what he writes in part of his own testimony written down. He says this: when we are lost in the woods, the sight of a sign is a great matter. He who sees it cries, "Look!" The whole party then gathers round and stares. But when we have found the road and are passing signposts every few miles, we shall not stop and stare. They will encourage us, and we shall be grateful to the authority who set them up, but we shall not stop and stare as much. Not on this road, though they are pillars of silver and the lettering of gold. Now, what's Lewis really just saying to us in that personal testimony? He's recognizing we are lost and that we've gone astray. Lewis, like Jesus, recognizes the significance of knowing when we are lost and the joy of finding the right way. The coin, on the other hand, was an what would be described as an inanimate object. Unlike the sheep, which was alive, and the son in the last story, we've got an inanimate object here in the coin. It was helpless and perhaps lost because of carelessness. Lost in the darkness of a Jewish house, which would have no windows, and it would have earthly floors, dirt floors sometimes, making the search difficult. Jesus mentioned that this coin, which was lost, was one of 10. And again, you might begin to ask, well, why did he put that detail in? It was one of 10 coins. Well, perhaps it was because Jewish girls often had coins as part of a headpiece, indicating they were married. It's a bit like our wedding ring. And if it was one of those coins which were part of a headpiece that she'd lost, it would be very precious to her. She wouldn't want to lose one of those 10 coins. Each person is precious to God, but some are helpless, lost in the dark and the dustiness of this world, and desperately need help to be found. The prodigal son, on the other hand, was someone who was foolish in his behavior. And then he came to his senses and returned. How many today in their foolishness need to come to their senses and turn to God? You see, there are so many different perspectives on these particular stories. We've spent a great deal of time looking at the different perspectives on what Jesus was saying in this lost and found section of Scripture. A few years ago, when I was in Houston, Texas, working with the First Baptist Church in Houston, Texas, I was working with their evangelist, or as they call them in America, their minister of mission. And it was a great time with him. I spent time doing what the work that he was doing, understanding where he was coming from. I even had the opportunity of teaching his Sunday school class. First Baptist Church, by the way, in Houston has several thousand members. They have 4 services over a weekend, 1 on a Saturday night, 2 on a Sunday morning, and 1 on a Sunday evening. The normal routine, of course, on a Sunday morning is typical of American churches, where half the time is spent in Sunday school and half the time is spent in worship. And in case of First Baptist Church, the first hour was called the traditional service, where traditional hymns were sung, and the second service on the Sunday morning was called the contemporary service, where all the modern songs were sung. So you could choose, do I go to the traditional service or do I go to the contemporary service? And that's mirrored in a lot of American churches. But what I found out from Larry was he was always fascinated by British humor. In fact, he used to say on a Sunday night, like nothing better when all the Sunday activity was over, was to go back home and switch on his television and pick up all the British humor. And his favorites were things like the Vicar of Dibley and Father Ted. Looking at it from different perspectives is a bit like these Irish stories of Father Ted, which have different ways of looking at it. You know, a typical Irish story, different perspectives. It's a bit like Father Ted saying to Father Dougal one day, would you like your pizza cut up into 6 pieces or 8? To which Dougal replied, oh, Ted, just 6. 8's too much for me. Looking at it from different perspectives. The 3 points I really want to share with you tonight are covering all of these 3 stories. They're linked with the teaching of Jesus, which I think are summarized, first of all, with the word culture. Or more precisely, careless culture. Who was this message aimed for? Aimed at? Well, Luke says at the beginning of the chapter, there were sinners, he calls them, and there were around him tax collectors, but more especially the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. These were the ones who were muttering, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. The message, I think, was primarily aimed at the Pharisees, but also to a certain extent the people in general. The theological thinking of the teachers of the law and the culture of that day was what would be described as careless. Criticism of Jesus mixing with sinners. You see, the righteous people of that day didn't care about the lost. Theologically, religious people believed that God loves good people and hates bad people. It was the culture of the day. And to a certain extent, that's the culture of our day today and has been for every generation. We are not exempt from having no concern for the lost. It was a feature of Jesus' time, and it's a feature of our culture today. That's why Jesus had to do some correcting. There was correction needed. What would be termed divine correction. Jesus corrects us by showing us that a holy and righteous God cares for and seeks after the lost, the sinners. Lost people are a loss to God. Lost people are a loss to God. Lost people have worth and value to God. Lost people themselves are often helpless and hopeless, a bit like the coin. That without help, they don't have much hope. But when the lost are recovered, not only we rejoice, but heaven rejoices. And thirdly, what we see here is compassion. We see culture, we see correction, and we see compassion. Because we see quite clearly the compassion of Jesus. God's compassion. And the question we need to ask ourselves always, do we share God's compassion for the lost? Will we act with compassion towards the lost? Will we repent of our prejudice we have often towards sinners and the lost? In the same way, those Pharisees looked upon those around and described them as tax collectors and sinners, not to be considered. Because when we have God's compassion, we will act with compassion towards the lost. We will repent of our prejudice. We will own the task of evangelism. We will leave our comfort zone to seek the lost. You see, the crowd around Jesus on that day, which was recorded by Luke, must have felt as they listened to Jesus that he cared for them. Unlike the Pharisees, that Jesus really cared for them. I wonder if the world around me, those who are lost, sense that I care for them. Someone who cares. People need the Lord. We're going to sing in a moment perhaps the most well-known hymn about the lost. Certainly very popular, Amazing Grace. John Newton, in the first verse of that hymn, writes of his own experience. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Do we care for the lost? Care for the lost in the way that Jesus did, as he calls each and every one of us to look to find the lost. Let's sing together, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound.